I am unashamed. What about you?
It's on the right hand side. This here.
It's on the right hand side of the Bible. Welcome to our podcast. We're midstream trying to find a verse.
It's where John was in prison and he's doubting whether Jesus is really who he is. And they send word to Jesus.
Is it not Matthew 11?
It's Matthew.
Look at here. Matthew 11:11. Look, you're right. It is on the right hand of the page at the top of the column.
That's it.
Can I read this?
Yeah.
I tell you the truth, Matthew 11:11. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, which is quite the statement. But then he makes this statement, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
That's pretty good.
So we're in John chapter 1, and we're talking about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus.
You know, what's interesting about that Matthew text, though, Jace, about John the Baptist, is that John, you know, he had been arrested because he had run afoul of the you know, king and all this. You know, he's basically calling them out for, you know, living with one another, living sinfully.
Well, I think what happened was the king married like his brother's wife.
Correct.
And where's that passage at? And so she gets a burr in her saddle about it. And so then they were at a party, and one of the daughters gets arrested. Yeah, John the Baptist gets arrested. One of the daughters of one of that family group comes out there and dances, I guess, suggestively. And he basically says, I'll give you anything you want. He was so impressed with the dance. And she said, I'll tell you what, I'll take the head of John the Baptist.
But your mom had put her up
on a platter.
And they didn't want to do it because John was a very popular figure. Obviously, he was the forerunner for Jesus. So it was like, I mean, he's looking, you can imagine this king, because he's like, oh my goodness, what have you got me into? But once he said that, a royal decree, it has to happen. But here's my point. What's interesting is when you read that passage you read in Matthew 11, whenever John is there, like John the Baptist is like the boldest, you know, one of the boldest people that's ever lived. But he's having a moment. Like, he's like, he's sitting in jail and he's starting to wonder, you know, are we sure this is it? And what I love about that is if John the Baptist can have doubts, then that clears me for the times I wonder and aren't as strong as I need to be. Because you don't find a guy stronger than him. So he sends his disciples to Jesus in that Matthew passage and says, now, are you sure? Are you sure about that? Like, we're good to go, right? Because he's thinking in the jail cell, they're fixing to cut my head off or something bad's fixing to happen to me. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. And then that's when Jesus talks about John the Baptist. But isn't that amazing that a man that bold, that had a clarity of his whole life and what he was supposed to do from day one, Nazarite vow, never cut his hair, never drank a drop of alcohol. I mean, he went through all this. I mean, he was the top, he's a ninja of his era, but in terms of spiritual.
You got to remember, he came into his own, John chapter 1, but they rejected him. It was there. You got to remember, it's a 400-year quiet where God didn't say a word from Malachi to John. So, or say it this way, from Malachi to Jesus, 400 years God was silent. But the last thing he said through the prophet Malachi, see, I send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Great for the ones who believed him, that Jesus was who he said he was, and dreadful for the ones who are not going to believe in him. So you got a prophecy. Malachi said, I'm going to send you Elijah, and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I'll come and strike the lamb with a curse. Basically, here comes Jesus. Well, Luke records John son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He's touting John the Baptist, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. Well, it sounds like Malachi. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Well, he just told you Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have a son, and whoever he is, he's going to go in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. We'll be back to Malachi again. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So when John the Baptist comes on the scene, he is the Elijah of Malachi. He's saying Elijah's going to come. And they're like, Elijah? What? Well, they looked up and they said, who in the world is that thing coming out of the desert, you know, robbing beehives and chasing down grasshoppers to make it? So they couldn't get him on food laws, because I mean, his diet was that kind of way out there. But you just think about
locusts and honey. I've always thought that he had, you know, when you see that locust and honey as an outdoors person, I thought, okay, I get it. Because the only way you can eat a locust, and I tried it because it was biblical.
Yeah.
And I thought, the only way you can make that work is to dip it in some honey. Yeah.
was he crunchy?
Yeah, one of them big, what do you call them?
Yeah, like the, I forgot what they're.
I mean, I looked at it and I thought, I should not eat this.
So, Jace, you know, you and I use the search engine, social media, not necessarily because we love it, but I mean, just because we have to.
I don't know if I use it. I'm familiar with it, and I'm an occasional user.
Right. I can always tell when it's you know, and because we have people that help us with stuff like that, but I can always tell when it's actually coming from old Jace, you know, usually personal. But here's the problem, and Dad, you wouldn't know this as you're studying your Bible there, that people they hijack your information. Or, you know, in your ability to go on, they hijack it and then they use it and sell it. I mean, it's a big problem, you know, because it's your, how you're communicating to people. But the people that run these tech elites, you know, you hear about them. I know you see them on, you know, Fox News or whatever. You hear, you know, talking about stealing people's information or donate money to these left wing causes. All that's for real.
Or your identity. See, yeah. Somebody could steal your identity if you had one on the internet. You're safe. But for the rest of the world, this is an issue.
I'm trying to wrap my head around what you're saying.
Just soak it in. Just let it breathe.
Steal my information.
Here, put your mic up there, Phil. You're like, this is a...
I don't mind if they steal my information. Just tell somebody else what you stole from me. So, you know, I've zoned in on Jesus, him crucified and raised from the dead. So how would they use that against me?
Well, Al, tell us all right, about.
So let me tell you about ExpressVPN, because what they've done is they've come up with a way for everybody but Phil to protect your identity, to make sure that none of your search history, your encrypting, it's all covered. It's all protected.
Protected from what?
From people that want to steal that information and sell it to others, or, you know, who knows what all they do.
You mentioned your identity.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm 73 years old, over the hill.
This is not working.
Bible
now.
Bumper. Why would anybody want to say, yeah, let's steal that?
What they do. But look, it's like when you were a little kid and somebody, you didn't want them stealing your BB gun. Well, now the internet is like the new cool BB gun, sort of.
There you go.
You see? So they're stealing. Just tell us what we can do to help this out.
I mean, this is priceless. So Dad's not getting it, but most of you out there, because you're watching this in computer land, as Dad calls it, you understand that you need to have your identity protected. So ExpressVPN, that's the name of this company, expressvpn.com/unleashed. Because see, we don't want to have our identity unleashed. So that's going to be our call word. ExpressVPN.com/unleashed. Get 3 months free with a 1 year package. So if you sign on with these guys for a year, they can get the first 3 months free because you're watching our podcast and you use unleashed.
But
this was a rare person because there was never anyone like him except Elijah. And here he comes. And Luke recorded that. Then you go on to say, you know, the greatest man who ever come out of a woman. So, I mean, he was quite the character John the Baptist was.
But he did make the point, he who's least in the kingdom is greater than him. And why do you think he said that? I mean, Jesus said it.
And look.
I mean, how would you apply? Because that does seem like a hard concept to understand.
He was before it came. And when it came, it was far greater than anyone ever.
Right.
You could have included anyone. You say, before the kingdom came, there was no grace, there was no mercy, there was no Holy Spirit available for all
people. Yeah, I think
that
was his point, too.
Yeah, that was his point.
And the things that make, and from a human perspective, the things that make men great from a kingdom perspective are not the same thing at all.
Oh, that's right.
So that's part of what he's saying.
Anything
too.
Before grace, you say, it would be greater for you to be under grace and have God's Spirit. Your sins wiped away, you're delivered from Satan, from guilt, from law, and from the grave. That makes you greater than John the Baptist.
I've always thought the perfect picture of that was the one, I think it's in Matthew 19, when the rich young ruler comes along and, you know, everybody's looking at him and like, whoa, this guy. And even Jesus says, oh, yeah. He says, you keep the law. I've kept him since I was a boy, you know. And so the disciples are like, man, look at this guy. But he didn't have the heart for it. I mean, to everybody looking, he was the greatest. But then when Jesus questioned him about giving some of his cash, he walks away sad.
A lot of people.
I mean, that tells you right there. I mean, and look, then you look at Luke 19 at Zacchaeus, little tax collecting, you know, guy
vermin.
That everybody hated, vermin.
Yeah,
and yet he's like, I'm coming to your house today. And then he said, without being prompted by Jesus, he said, you know what? I have cheated a lot of people, and I'm going to give them four times back what I stole from them.
And plus,
that's the difference in the heart. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It blows a hole in the argument for the people who would say, well, you know, that was just real unkind of God to allow this guy who had the greatness and power of Elijah, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, appointed to pave the way for the Savior, of the world, and he had to die this horrible death. Well, why would God do such a thing? What they forget is, with God, the resurrection.
Right.
I mean, it's like they all were martyred, including
right.
John the Baptist.
Right.
You know, all the apostles, but John, every last one of them died horrible deaths, you know, one after the other, the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of them.
Right.
You say they all died for the cause, but they really didn't die. Peter said, I'm fixing to leave here, set my tent aside in 2 Peter 1, and he said, and after my departure, I want y'all to remember what I'm saying here. I mean, he was looking at physical death.
Right.
The same thing for John the Baptist and all the rest of them that died for the cause.
Right. We talked about
they live on.
We talked about four because we kind of came into the middle of the story here about John the Baptist. But if you go back to when Jesus was born, and in fact, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she goes to visit her relative who happened to be John the Baptist's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember because she walked in and so she said, she looks at Mary and she says, the baby in my womb just leapt for joy when you walked up. She took that as a sign that John the Baptist, who she was carrying in her womb, who was a little bit older, he's like already fired up about what's going on. So this is all happening like before they're even born.
Think about a group of people that were all going to be liars. They're all going to tell a big lie. And they write down what we are discussing play by play. And you're like, now wait just a minute. So a bunch of people just got together and you could add the 5,000 years going back to, you know, Genesis 2:14 or whatever it is, where the prediction's made, someone from a woman, the seed of a woman will destroy Satan. Well, now he comes, and the forerunner is right before him, John the Baptist, and his life is being told like the baby leaping. You're like, so they all just systematically and methodically dream this tale up? I mean, ow.
It's and just, the guy looks like a bum.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, he probably looked a lot like
he's
you.
He's paving the way for the Savior of the world, and you look at him coming, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs, repent. And, you know, and he's real nice to his neighbors, as in, you brood of vipers, who told you of the coming wrath?
Well, I've always I mean, said when
you
I...
You bunch of snakes.
To when I go out and speak, I always like when I'm talking about John the Baptist, I found a picture. Obviously, there's no picture of John the Baptist, but where somebody like 600 years ago painted what they thought he might look like based on the description you just talked about. So I put it up there. Well, it looks a lot like, you know, Phil. Now, this was done 600 years
ago. I feel better about it after reading about him, what he looked like and all. I feel better about myself, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, I've always said, Phil, you're like a cardboard sign and a coffee cup away from just being a guy on the street saying, repent.
I love my neighbor enough, and I know John did too, but I pull up a little short. I'm pretty blunt, but I pull up a little short, and I don't call my neighbor, you brood of vipers.
Yeah.
You bunch of snakes. I pull up short of that. I'm like, well.
But it did cross your mind on occasion.
Many times.
All right, so today our theme seems to be on our podcast is protection. One of our favorite groups is the Simply Safe Home Security, because I don't know if you know this, Dad, but a lot of people get their homes burglarized on a regular basis.
Really?
Really. It's the number one crime that's out there.
Not around here, but
probably less here, but you know, you get in these neighborhoods, people walking around, they don't see a camera, and all of a sudden, you know, they just go. You know, during the Christmas season, I was reading that they're stealing the packages because everybody orders so much stuff, you know. So you don't have a way to keep an eye on what's going on.
Most people now, the most powerful deterrent for burglary are cameras. See, in your world, Phil, it's dogs, guns, people that look like you.
Because you couldn't access the camera. You have cameras, but do you even know how to look at them?
No.
They would find out who it is. There's no way to get here without them being filmed to get to where I am right now.
I knew that you had them.
It'll be on film, but you know, before it gets on film, you hope it turns out well if burglary is involved. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So here's the deal, and this is another fact I didn't know. Police dispatch up to 350% faster than a normal burglar alarm if you use the Simply Safety. In other words, if the alert goes out. So obviously, they trust in it. They know you're going to have cameras there.
It's a good idea.
Entry, motion, you know, there's all these things you put on your door. It's a great deal. Basically, it's only going to cost you, if you sign up with these guys, 50 cents a day. That's well worth it. No contracts, which I like that. So if you go to simplysafe.com/unashamed, simplysafe.com/unashamed, you're going to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. Pretty good. So you don't like it, 60 days, you get your money back. simplysafe.com/unashamed, protect your valuables and your home.
I was a viper myself at one time.
I was thinking that would be, Dad should do that sometime. Just do the sign that says, I don't want any money. Like, go stand at Sam's where there's guys always there. I don't want any money, but here's what you need. And just, you know, do the gospel symbols or something. Just, you know, like
that. Yeah, because, I mean, you would fit right in.
Well, they would look and say, oh, look at that poor man. They said, wait a minute, what? If they read your sign.
Yesterday, and I think it's worth telling, and I looked, and three different women had brought their either the person they were dating or their husband. One of them was a couple. They were married. The couple with them, I don't think they were married. The other ones weren't married. But the girls, the women, somehow talked their men into coming to Louisiana, to yours truly seated right here. And they were from Indiana. And where were the other ones from? They were from a different state, maybe Kentucky. But they all came. And when they came, they sat down and they said, "We have some visitors want to talk to you, Phil." And I walked over there and I met them. You know, "How y'all doing?" "Pretty good." "So what's up?" And they said, "Well, we've come down here and the guy I'm dating," or one of them said, "my husband, have decided to make Jesus Lord of his life today. So we came down here, and that's why we're here." Well, 5 minutes later, someone came by and they said, "That girl that brought that guy with her that wants to give his life to the Lord today." I said, "Yeah." Said, "She wants to sing a solo." And I said,
"Uh-oh."
I said, "Well, get her up there."
Oh, Phil, you're the only man I know that your first response would be, "Well, sure."
Yeah, I said.
"Have you ever seen this?"
I said, "She wants to sing a solo." I said, "Well, give her a mic and get her going."
Have you ever seen the
they
show?
Said, "Well, when do you want to do this?" I said, "Right now." So she gets up. I said, "I wave at her." I said, "Come on over."
Can we not discuss that? Have you ever seen the show American Idol? Have you ever seen that show?
No, I missed that.
People get up and they try out for singing. Well, most of them are terrible.
Well, here's the rest of the story. The girl gets up and somebody hands her a mic, and I wave at everybody like we got a big crowd, you know. So I wave my hands like that, like, "Hey, shut her down. We got something going on here." So the girl gets up and gets on the mic. So everybody is waiting, and when she started singing, I'm like, I looked at her, I said, "Where in the world did this woman come from?"
Good or bad?
Oh, terrific.
Oh.
I mean,
I was on the edge of my seat.
I was hanging there. I was like,
"What are you talking about?" She started singing, and you could have heard a pin drop. And
what was she singing? Do you remember the song?
She was singing a song. You know, I don't listen to like the radio singing much, but Miss Kay said that's a popular song.
Was it a spiritual song?
It's a very spiritual song.
I've never heard it called radio.
I think the name of the song was "I'm a Child of God." But she was saying, "I'm a child of God.
No longer slaves. That's it.
I am a child of God.
That's a great song.
You know, I met
so anyway,
the people
she sang
who wrote
that thing,
song.
And I mean, there was an eruption that came out of the brothers and sisters there when she got done with that, and that's the way we kicked off our little Sunday morning service.
Really? Wow.
There.
Well, that might.
I got up and preached the gospel to all concerned. I didn't remember their names. They told me, but I forgot them. So I'm up there. And so I call that group Indiana, and I look over here, and I call that group. I said, "Kentucky, don't forget this. Indiana, always remember." I was just given the states.
By states.
Yeah, but anyway, they came up. They all confessed Jesus as Lord, and I baptized them. And on top of the song that the girl and the girls, the entire time we were there for a couple of hours, tears just came out of their eyes, just...
I think that was a God orchestrated meeting.
That's awesome.
If that wasn't a God thing, I will eat my hat.
I have to tell you something that's incredible. You're not going to believe this.
By the way, somebody, you know, these days, somebody put the thing and it went on the internet. I mean, they were telling me about it.
It's out there somewhere.
It's out there.
So there was radio singing in computer land.
I have to tell you this because I think this is a God thing. I got all excited one time. I was not recently, I'd say within the last couple of years. So I was speaking at White's Fair Road at our church. Yep. And I did a lesson about that we're the children of God. Well, I came across this song, same song that she sang.
Really?
Yes. And I thought, man, this song is awesome. And I was like you, I didn't listen to radio music. It's the first time.
Radio singing.
So I went in there and told Missy.
Most people call it music, by the way. That goes on radio.
The next morning, I told Missy, I was like, "You're not going to believe it. I heard this song. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of God." She's like, "Yeah, it's you know, yeah." I was like, "You've heard that?" She's like, "Yeah, everybody who's a believer has heard that song." I said, "Well, you're not going to believe what I did." I said, "I got so excited because it fit in with my lesson." Uh-huh. So I sent them an email, the people who wrote the song, and she's rolling around. She's like, you sent them an email. I said, 2:00 in the morning. I said, "Look, I just want y'all to know this song is awesome." And I said, I kind of played the Duck Dynasty card. I was like, "I don't know if you ever heard of our show." And she's like, "Well, they're not going to believe you." I said, "No, I sent a picture that has not been circulated on the internet." I was like, "This is me. I'm Jace. This is my family." I said, "You were in there."
Is there a picture of you that hasn't been circulated on the internet? Where would you find a picture?
I took it out of my phone and put it on there. So she's like, what was your point? I was like, because I just felt a connection with the words of that song and what I was sharing. I didn't go to the song. I heard the song after I got the lesson. I was like, perfect. I said, who knows? Maybe we're, you know, doing
this
the same thing.
This girl was singing about, and I wasn't, I'd never heard the song, but she was singing about her husband being born again.
Yeah.
And she was the precursor to that.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there listening on how this was unfolding. And I was saying while I was up there, I said, I'm guessing. I said, let's see, Indiana, y'all are here from Indiana. I said, Indiana, I'm just guessing here. But I would say that you've been mean to your woman. You've been up to no good because you've been a child of Satan.
Playing the role of John the Baptist.
This is John the Baptist.
I said, probably come old, hugging, drunk.
You realize.
You've been John the Baptist.
Look, I was
saying. That got his head cut off.
Yeah. And I looked over there at the table when I was speaking and saying, I'm just guessing. This is what you've been up to. And she was going. And he was sitting there going.
You just need to be more blunt. So look, let me finish my story. So a couple weeks later,
confess your sins and repent. So
look, a couple weeks later, they email me back. The Helsers, Jonathan and Melissa, that's who wrote that song and performed it. And he's like, "You're not going to believe this," but he said, "I dreamed."
Who wrote the song?
The Helsers.
Helsers.
It's like H E L S E R.
Husband and wife team.
Husband and wife.
Well, what do you know?
So look,
thank you two for writing that song.
Look, so he said, "I had a dream that I was in your family one time," because I sent him the email and said, good job.
Whoa.
And I was like, well, this is getting weird. Because then
this
Missy,
is going on at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, well, no, 2 weeks later, they were doing a tour in Europe. So it took them a couple weeks before they answered the email. So I go in there and tell Missy, I'm like, they answered my email. Duh. Because she said, that'll never work. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I was like, and he had a dream that he was in our family one time.
Ooh.
And she said, okay, they're weirdos. So look, anyway.
And his song is being sung at at the deal. I'm like.
Oh, there's more. There's more.
Man, they hadn't heard the whole
song. Then he's like, next.
See, this information is coming at me fast. And everybody said, Ray and God's still working today. I said, yeah.
Oh, it gets better. So look, a few weeks later, he's like, hey, we're doing a show in Shreveport, Louisiana. Well, let's hook up. So we went over to the concert. They got in my vehicle.
So you've met these people.
They stayed in my house for 3 days. Yes. Hey, awesome. I mean, just warriors, spirit-filled warriors for the kingdom.
And you can tell both of them, the song lives on in real time. You can tell them if they happen to miss that yesterday. They said it's on the internet. They may find it.
Look, I'll send him a text.
Send him a text
right now.
Send him a text.
I'll tell you this. They got another one out.
In computer land, that's what
I text him, but I don't have anything to text with.
Yeah, in computer
look,
land, that's
they've got another one out now. It's called Raise a Hallelujah, and it's awesome.
Oh, yeah,
do yourself a favor and get somebody that works for you to pull
that
up.
We asked that girl to come back.
Yeah,
Miss Kay, she got involved. She was out there, you know, she's squalling too. So everybody begins to cry, but she goes over to them, you know. I prayed for them before they left that God would protect them from the evil one and that he would start showing signs of love, joy, peace, patience. I said, keep reminding him of that now. Remind him.
So just to let our audience.
It was a great service.
Just to let our audience know so you'll kind of understand our setup here. So Jason and I, Whites Ferry Road is our church. We've been there. You know, 40 years, that's where Dad came when he became a Christian. That's where we came as a family. I preached there a long time. Now I've started preaching again. Jason and Missy do worship. But that's kind of the mother church of our region. But we did a church plant across the river, and it's called WFRU, which is because it's next to the university. And so Mom and Dad have been working over there for about 2 years. So when we're describing these services, that's what he's talking about. But Mom and Dad's deal is really fluid and open. Just like I said, it's just they shift on a dime.
It's kind of laid back.
Very laid back. It's by the way, it's about, what'd you say, Dad? 60, 40 African Americans. There's more African Americans than white people.
Which is really good.
Which is great. And that area is an African American neighborhood around the university. So that's been part of their goal is to do that. In fact, today, Mom is speaking. They got a big Martin Luther King deal there today at the church, and Mom is the speaker. Did you know that?
Martin Luther King would be thrilled to see blacks and whites together because we're still in this rut about black churches and white churches. I'm like, wait a minute here. What about we just all come together So and we eat together and worship together, black and white, or who anybody
else.
The only
color I'm concerned with is the red blood of Jesus that brings all people under the same cross.
Well said.
So we got a product that we've been talking about on the podcast that I think is one of the best things out there and so needed. Dad, this doesn't apply to your world, but for the rest of us in computer land that have kids or grandkids, in my case, your great-grandkids. So kids figure out quickly, usually through the internet, how to get into troubling things, because there's a lot of trouble, obviously, on the internet. You're talking about these apps, and we've talked about Snapchat.
Just
and all these
immaturity. Yeah. They're not mature enough.
And you have adults, you know, people out there praying as well. So you put that together, you got some disastrous things.
And there's other adults that are busy on their phone, so busy they're not paying attention what their kids are doing on theirs.
That's right. So there's some folks that have started to have a product called Circle. So it's got the idea is that we're going to draw a circle sort of around your family. And they've come up with a way to be able to manage and filter, you know, how much time your kids can be on the internet, when they can be on the internet. I mean, there's a lot of great features about it's called Circle Home Plus. And so I was just in up in North Carolina, and they were putting Circle on Zach, our cousin, on his all of his stuff. And it was so funny because while Ben's going through the process, you know, he said, "I want watch and see what's fixing to happen." And like 2 minutes later, they all come running in. It's like, what happened? I lost my, you know. I mean, everybody's like, immediately, it was something has happened there. And it was like, calm down. And here's what we're doing. And then Zach explained to his kids what they were putting on. So they love were just doing this.
It's like the song, Love is Like a Circle.
That's exactly right. Love. It is.
You heard that song?
No, I haven't. I don't listen to radio singing.
This is like a kid song. Love is like a circle big and round.
I missed that one. Okay.
Well, that's a good one. They should use that song for like their
there you go.
Tagline.
If anybody from Circle is watching, Chase just gave you a jingle.
You're welcome.
So anyway, this is a great thing to do for your family, protect them. And look, Chase is right. I know people get busy, but if you're not paying attention, trust me, somebody else is moving in to do something bad.
You've got
to
break this cycle where everybody goes to their own room on their own device and lives.
Right.
So y'all are saying to me, but to be so bold, I just shut it down, never start it to begin with. It's a little rough.
It's probably not going to happen.
I've been there with my kids. They go through those stages. You know,
it becomes a takeaway. But this is a way to basically control the atmosphere. So for our listeners, you get a limited time offer here. So you want to move on this if you don't already have Circle Home Plus. You get $30 off when you visit meetcircle.com/unashamed. Got to use our code unashamed. This will get you $30 off. If you visit meetcircle.com/unashamed when you get to your checkout, save you some money, but way more importantly, you're going to be able to protect your family because you need this. Trust me. I got the same thing with my grandkids. Jason has it with his kids, so you got to do it.
It's called setting boundaries.
That's right.
For a nominal fee.
Meetcircle.com/unashamed. Save you some money. Protect your family.
Well, 1 Corinthians 12 says that. There's no male
or female.
We have
to get past this black church and white church thing.
I hope somebody records this day because I'm really curious. Mom's been studying all week, and I've been real proud of her. So Zach and I have been coaching her on a few things about MLK. And one of the things that we talked to her about, the letter from the Birmingham jail is a powerful
testament
that he wrote. Dad did a movie called Torchbearer. By the way, I think you can find it on Amazon Prime. You need to go check it out because it's really good.
I will amen that. It was awesome. Well done.
So, Dad, we filmed a scene in Birmingham in the jail cell because they've taken that jail cell and they put
it in. The same cell he was in.
That's right. They put it in a museum that's right across the street from the church that got bombed there. So, Dad is in that jail cell reading that letter. And, I mean, like, I just got a chill because, like, when we were there and we were doing it, I mean, it made you chill, didn't it, Dad? Just the whole deal.
I said to the brothers yesterday, I looked at the African-Americans there, I said, we ought to have our tail kicked. I said, for the way we treated you folks for all those years. Right. I said, we ought to be horsewhipped for that. I said, it was pathetic. I said, I wasn't there. I said, but the way they treated y'all, I'm astounded that y'all have come together after the way you were treated.
Right.
I said, so you're to be commended for being forgiving. I said, just remember this. I said, you just forgive them and move on is about all you can do.
You have to move forward at some point.
Somebody sent me a quote yesterday, I guess in anticipation of Martin Luther King Day. It was just somebody emailed it to me, but it was awesome. And it was a quote, and it basically said, it was pretty long, so I can't remember the whole thing. I should have brought it. But it basically, in his quote, he said he was a preacher of the gospel. The first sentence was, I was a preacher of the gospel before I became a civil rights leader. I will be a preacher of the gospel while I'm a civil rights leader, and I will continue to be a preacher of the gospel all the days of my life. I just thought that was so profound, because he made that announcement himself to say, let me just let everybody know what my number one thing is, and it's the gospel of Jesus. I was really moved just to read it. And I think he saw the statement I made, which is numerous texts, Galatians 3:27, 1 Corinthians 12, that's what brings people together.
Yep.
You just think about what Jesus does in answering our sin problems and our physical death problem, and takes out the classes of people, the color of people, and the sex of people. That's what it does.
Yep.
And I always hate it, because somebody invariably, probably from our audience, will send us an email this week and say, yeah, but MLK, and then you list all the weaknesses he had or rumors about him or whatever. But you remember, he's a man like any man, but he was fighting for a just cause. I mean, what has happened?
Idiots everywhere.
Well, I just hate it because you always hear that. But look, that's the same thing they did to Dad. I mean, I think the whole controversy Dad had a few years ago, the worst thing that happened out of all that in Dad's mind wasn't the biblical stuff or sexuality or any of that. It was, they called him a racist.
Oh, yeah.
And we knew that was so untrue. It was so unfair, right. But that's what they do.
I've told people, I was like, you've now accused the most non-racist person I know, which is my dad, of being a racist. But that's just the world we live in. When people pick a side and they attack you, they're going to use the same, you know, they're like, oh, you live in Louisiana, you're white. Oh, you must be a racist.
Yeah, you grew up in the 40s.
We work with our local police department, and some of the SWAT team members, I've converted them to Christ, and one of them was there yesterday, it's security, and he was telling me, he said, let me get this straight, and I'll make sure I have this straight. He said, y'all converted Thomas, his first name was Thomas, I don't know what his last name is, but they said, y'all converted that guy Thomas? I said, yeah. He said, I told my fellow SWAT team members, guess who was converted and gave his life to Jesus Christ? And they said, who? And he said, when I told them his name, they said, you are kidding. They said, no, he's a child of God over there now. They said, that guy we keep arresting for, you know, crystal meth, and I don't know what all, cocaine, you know, just on the street out there, you know, all kinds of mischief. They said, they converted him? And they said, man, what'd they tell him? They were trying to figure out how you could convert someone that they thought was, look, unconvertible, unworthy, and down. They were stunned.
Well, and I have to say, Dad, that's what I love about what you and Mom are doing, and the plant we have there is, look, it's just like Jesus's word. It's dirty. It's smelly. It's people with a lot of problems. Yep. It's some people with a lot of mental problems.
The whole point of what we're talking about, here's John the Baptist, and Jesus makes that profound statement. And then, you know, he goes on to say, after he said he's the greatest man born of a woman, but he who's the least in the kingdom is greater than him. I mean, Jesus is supplying the power to transform us all. It's his spirit at work. That's why it said John the Baptist, you know why he's the greatest human? Because he had the Holy Spirit from birth.
Yep.
You know, we get it once we, you know, respond to Jesus. Right. Yeah, but then that, here we go, he's supplying the power. We're just along for the ride.
From cover to cover, and I went back and I went through verse after verse after verse after verse on our attitude toward the poor, Al, and it was a long study. If everyone would just take the word poor, P-O-O-R, and so what's the M-O on poor, reaching out to the poor? I was astounded at how many verses. Then the principle is all the way from Leviticus, the law of Moses, all the way through Jesus, all the way through. Whatever you do, reach out and help the poor. They're always going to be there,
right.
But you reach out and you help them. If you rely on government programs and all this, nope. The sons and daughters of God and the church should be way more involved in helping the poor than they currently are. The Catholics are doing a great job with it in a lot of ways, and there's others, Salvation Army and all these different groups. But everyone who claims Jesus, Christianity at large,
agreed,
should spend way more time reaching out to the poor. We don't do
Let
that
me tie
enough.
That in with our study, because we started off talking about Matthew 11. But when John was in prison in Matthew 11, in verse 4, Jesus told him, said, go back and tell, report to John what you hear and see. And this is the statement he made in verse 5 of chapter 11 in Matthew. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor.
Precisely.
And then he made the comment about John the Baptist being the greatest, and then he makes that comment that we've been talking about all morning. But then he made another comment that I wanted to bring up, and he says, what can I compare this generation to? And then he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, you know, because we read where he didn't drink any kind of alcohol or whatever at any time. And he says, and the people say he has a demon. In the same way that you were accused of being a racist.
Yep.
There's, you know, when people attack you, that's what they do. They did the same thing to John the Baptist.
Yep.
He brought up the fact that, you know, he didn't care how royal the family was. He said, y'all are living in sin. And I mean, it cost him his life. Yep. But they're like, well, you have a demon. You're demon possessed, you wild camel hair wearing.
That's right.
Because they thought, yeah, locust eating.
Who are you to tell me?
Yeah, look at you. Put yourself together, man. And then, but Jesus made this statement, which I thought is really interesting, and it's really controversial in the religious world. I don't find it controversial at all. Jesus said it, but he said, you know, John, they say, has a demon. He says, the Son of Man, referring to himself, came eating and drinking, and they say, here's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Because it gives you the impression that Jesus, you know, he went to the parties. It says he came eating and drinking. It's not wrong, based on what I read, to drink alcohol. It's wrong to get drunk, obviously. Right. He makes that distinction.
Or be controlled by it.
Yeah, he makes that distinction. But people, that makes people uncomfortable. But I didn't say it. Jesus is the one that said it.
The big picture is, it's not, in my opinion, it's the government is terrible at helping the poor. It's
because their goals are different. They're saying we want to end poverty.
It's not the government's job. I'm like Ronald Reagan on this one. It's not the government's job to help the poor. It's really not. The bottom line is, the government is the problem. It's our job to reach out to the poor. The difference is, I'm over there, and we're helping them all the time, and many are being converted, and they're turning to Jesus. You say,
and you've proven one thing: if you feed them, they will come.
Yeah, and you say, well, how much money is changing it? I'm not getting paid anything.
Right,
I'm volunteering to do
money
it.
In.
We need to all as Christians volunteer to reach out to our fellow man, whether they're poor or rich. We just reach out to them, and we help them, and we love them. You say it would work far better that way than getting some government program coming in. They've spent trillions, more poor now than
ever.
Like
what you do, Phil.
That's right.
You
what's your goal? Your goal is for them to go to heaven.
Yes.
Right. You can live this life with nothing and go
to
heaven.
I sincerely love them.
That's but you're luring them in with the meal, and then you're sharing Jesus. But Jesus did the same thing.
Sure.
He lured them in with the meal. You remember John 6, we're getting there.
Now, it took about a year for them to say,
"What is
I could see in their mind, but they finally, Miss Kay would walk up with like food carts and say, okay, y'all get in a line now, because I'm fixed to get you some food carts going.
What's not funny, but I was going to say what's funny is when we all got together, you know, on the last Sunday of the year a couple of weeks ago, and we had the bus over there going to bring them over because they're all home. They're all homeless. They wouldn't get on the bus because they thought it was some kind of government trap.
Yeah.
They're taking us
back to jail.
Last time I ever got on the bus, they were going to the correctional center.
They would not get on it.
They wouldn't.
I learned a valuable lesson. Once the people who have never been loved, once they experience that, and it becomes in their mind, they say, wait a minute. He's helped. We're not having to give them anything.
Right.
They're reaching out to us. Once they figured out that we love them sincerely, you wouldn't believe the change in a human being when they know someone loves them.
Right.
A lot of them had never been loved. They're just down and out, circumstances, it happens.
And like you said, now you got a current crop of people, most of them are on the left in our country, that are basically saying, we want to take everybody that's done well, that's built a business, that's is wealthy, whatever, we're going to take all that money and we're going to redistribute it. We're going to fix this. And so they come in and do these things about trying to make everybody even, Stephen.
Futility.
Just futility.
Where's John the Baptist? Do you love have them? The same thing when you challenge the people in control. Remember, they asked him, remember, about the taxes and how he started dictating policy. He gave an opinion a lot like Phil does. And that's eventually probably why he was in jail. And then he had made so many people with power bitter that it eventually cost him.
We sprang one from jail here 3 or 4 months ago, and he was saying, he told Miss Kay, he said, whoo, he showed up next Sunday. He was there with us, you know. And I said,
you didn't break him out of jail, did you? You said
no, we had to pay.
Oh, okay.
We paid the money.
I just
want
to clarify because you said Ms. we sprung him.
How much is it to get him out? When we found out, we didn't know he was in jail. When we found out he was in jail, you know, Miss K got on with the DA and why much I owe you, so she pays and springs him, and the brother that we sprang from the jail, he came in there saying, "Whoa, I thought y'all forgot me." He said, "About 3 weeks in the slammer," and he said, "I thought y'all forgot me." I said, "No, we didn't forget you. We just couldn't track you down, man."
You never
pretty
know
cool story.
What work you're going.
He's still there, by the way. Not in jail. He's still with the brothers there, you know. So I
have an opinion, and this is not Bible. This is Al's opinion. You don't find a second opinions in the Bible. But this idea about the spirit of Elijah, it seems to be that God brings it out generationally. You'll see it throughout the Old Testament, especially when you had a lot of prophecy. But then you saw it definitely here, as you said. Malachi points. You go to John 1, he said, I'm not Elijah, but certainly that spirit that Malachi talked about was there.
A lot of people say, he was Elijah reincarnated.
Right.
Elijah never died.
That's right. Which is why a lot of people thought it might have been him. He just showed up as John.
Well, but that I think he just met in the same type of spirit.
Well, so here's my opinion. My opinion is that from time to time, that spirit of Elijah, that person that sees everything in black and white and has a prophetic voice, will come along throughout history. And I think it still happens today. I think that's what Dad has. I think he has a spirit of Elijah. I don't think there's any, because, I mean, look, I could be totally wrong.
I mean,
it may be nothing. It may just be Phil being Phil.
I mean, to me, I'm comparing it like I'm going to the verse that said, I think we're all in the spirit of Elijah once you get the Holy Spirit of God.
Who in America?
That's just what I'm saying. Verse says, he who's in the least of the kingdom.
But I'm saying, who in America, if you put a picture of their face on TV or anywhere else, would say, now that guy there, and then they talk about it. I'm saying that is unique in that because
I think
he's seen as that.
Well, it's because Phil
and he doesn't see himself as anything
great.
Don't
be giving me the shoes with Elijah. He was far greater man than I ever will be, but I'm just saying.
Well, look,
that's what
the
I'm
least
saying,
in the kingdom
but I'm
will
saying,
be greater than him.
Phil is not politically correct because he lives on the river. If you take an individual
like
who comes
John the Baptist
to Jesus, and you just put him in an isolated wilderness for about 30, 40 years. He comes out looking like Phil and talking like John the Baptist because they're...
I'm saying, where is there another one? Because I'm looking, I'm not finding him.
I'm bad
culture.
For barbershops.
Yeah,
bad
there's
news
no,
for
there's
barbershops.
There's no filter.
Well, because you see it the way...
Didn't you have a book called Unfiltered? It was a very accurate description of
P-H-I-L, Unfiltered.
I think
look, if there's no grace, Jesus came, John 1, that we covered this, Jesus came full of grace and truth.
I was fixed to say the same verse.
Now look,
there's a balance.
There'd been a dry spell from Genesis all the way to this time frame. Right. A dry spell, a long drought, where there was no grace. The grace of God. I mean, look, you can be forgiven. You don't have to be perfect, like keep every command that God has given. There was never any sacrifice for him. And all of a sudden, here comes the ultimate sacrifice, God himself in a human body, Jesus. And he delivers mankind from their sins, never to up there at the right hand of God, constantly mediating for them to keep them cleansed. They're full of God's Spirit. And you say, that was a long time in coming. Well, you just think about being inserted into that. Well, you would have to be a John the Baptist type to get their attention. Sin, they're so steeped in sin, Al, the whole human race.
The pastor yesterday that spoke, Mike, because neither one of y'all were there, that's the verse he talked about. And he was like, in his opinion, he said the church, 40 years ago, they would holler truth and whisper grace. And he said now, 40 years later, of course, this was his opinion. He said, I feel like they, in our politically correct world, they holler grace and whisper truth, which I thought was a pretty good point.
Pretty good point.
And I've always viewed Phil, to answer your question about in that spirit, because John the Baptist seemed to holler truth and whisper grace. Of course, Jesus hadn't died and buried. Right. Yeah, he wasn't under that system. And so in that light, I will agree with you. I think for the most of us, we should try to have a balance there because we all are under grace.
Yep.
But I do think Jesus's point was that it's not when he said, I am the truth, right, he still keeps the personal being of what we have in him. If you look at how Jesus handled situations, well, we just read in Matthew 11, a lot of things he did was very unorthodox, which would make religious people uncomfortable. I mean, when's the last time you went to a bar to, share Jesus? But he was going to party type atmospheres and was sharing the good news of his Father in those scenarios, or that text wouldn't have been in there, right, in Matthew 11.
Not only that, the same apostle that we're reading from, John, the book of John, he went on to say in 1 John 3, verse 10, it's real simple. Watch. And hammer this. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. You're like two groups of people on planet Earth, the children of God and the children of the devil. So when we say, look, Jesus is Lord, you have to prove that. On their baptism day, we say, you have to prove that. Paul said, I preached everywhere they should repent and prove their repentance by their deeds. You say, it has to be a change of life here. Repentance means you prove it. Anyone, here's how you can tell who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone, this is complex, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, neither is anyone who does not love his brother. You say, so you mean you've got this thing down to when a person says Jesus is Lord, from that point on, everywhere he is, he makes sure, he makes every effort to do what is right and love his brother. How hard could it be for someone to say, good night, I can do that. I can attempt to do that. And when you fail at it, he's there to
not count grace, not counting truth
that against you.
That's right.
Well, if you look at it, Al, it's the greatest deal mankind has ever gotten.
But it goes back to what Jesus said, wisdom is proved right by her actions.
Yeah.
So we're out of time.
Woo, that was
never
great.
Even
that,
got to where we
well,
were
no, no, no. I was gonna say. So here's my tease for the next podcast because we're in John. So that's the beautiful thing about it. But we haven't even talked about the most important thing John the Baptist did and why he really was here to begin with. So we're gonna do that next time. So there's your tease. We hope you're reading the book of John. I gotta at least say something, Jay, before we sign off, because last time we made a prediction about the national championship game that now has come and gone.
So you want to gloat a bit?
I want to gloat a bit. I've got my, you see my hat here? So you see what that?
Oh, is that the even Jesus came riding on a burro?
No. Oh, but that's pretty good. I hadn't thought about that.
Thank you.
Our president was there, and the stadium, they were chanting, USA,
that's USA. I heard that. Trump was, he was quite popular at the national.
I think he became an LSU fan over this.
I think he did,
too.
It's
kind of
weird. He said, Coach Orgeron, he was like, I thought he had laryngitis when I first met him. He said, but, you know, he's some guy. So this is the GOAT Burrow, greatest of all time.
Oh, I thought it was a Burrow.
That's a GOAT. So, you know, but most time you think about a GOAT in sports as being a negative. Yep. Burrow, greatest of all time. Now we can say it. He won the national championship, Heisman, blah, 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 blah. So I just wanted to say congratulations. We had that in. Jason and I were right. We said double digits. Mm-hmm. We were both right. Dad said Clemson would be hard to beat. He was right. But
I didn't say LSU was not going to win.
Not really.
I said
We could have hung about two more touchdowns on there if we wanted
to. Certainly there was
but LSU's behind 16-0 or something going 17, in.
17
you know,
to 7.
It was never 16-0.
Yeah, Clemson got out there ahead of them.
They were ahead by 10.
You said 16-0.
Ahead by 10?
Ahead by
10.
17-7. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to go.
But
so
here, I'll sign it off with this. Louisiana is feeling good.
We are so glad you're watching and listening to the Unashamed podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. That's going to keep you up to date with all the new episodes, and it's also going to let other people find out about our podcast. So keep spreading the word and watching and listening to Unashamed with Phil Robertson.